Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a show today that everyone thinking about transition to civilian life needs to see. We have Lieutenant Colonel retired J.J. Montanaro from USAA to talk about financial wellness. We all know taking off that uniform brings about a world of change. So we're going to tell you how to navigate through those financial changes. We'll show you how having a playbook to manage your money will bring financial health to you and your family, and how to avoid those pitfalls that can trip you up along the way. We're going to tell you what a transition fund is. You can't afford to miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I'm going to say this every week. We love them too. We have an incredible show for you today, focused on financial wellness. And I'm so excited, I'm motivated to introduce Lieutenant Colonel retired J.J. Montanaro, U.S. Army Reserves and Relationship Director for Military Advocacy Group at USAA. Welcome to the show.
Sergeant Major, great to be with you. Thanks for all you've done and continue to do, and I'm happy and excited to be with you. I hope I can have the same energy that you're bringing to the table today.
Oh, I'm pumped up already. I'm just motivated. hey, sir, you know, the audience is really excited about, hearing all about financial wellness and all the stuff we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But before we do that, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally from Kansas City. It's a good time to be from Kansas City.
Absolutely.
Go Chiefs. I'm actually from a military family. My dad was a naval aviator. So for those that can really turn back the clock, he picked up Gordon Cooper on one of the Mercury missions in the capsules, flying helicopters. I like to say I found the light. Went to West Point. Spent 20 years, as you said, on active duty in the reserves in the Army. And then when I got off of active duty, I got into financial planning. And after about 10 years of doing that, I was lucky enough or stumbled into a great job here at USA where I worked with members. And for the last few years, have, as you said, been on the military advocacy team here at USAA.
Yeah. I got to tell you this. Don't take it the wrong way. But I always say anybody that, I have 36 years in the service. Anybody that has 20, I always say, well, you did quit a little bit early. But, that's okay. You still served. I appreciate it. Hey, sir.
It happens.
When you say military advocacy, what exactly does that mean? You tell the audience what that
means. Sure. USA, we have really three pillars that we focus on. One, supporting military families. Two, meaningful careers for veterans and military spouses. And then the third one is kind of my lane, which is financial readiness.
Yeah.
So it can be about USA and things USA does, but really it's more about supporting organizations and events that are working in those areas. I was just this morning working with a couple of military spouses that set up what's called a Pillar Digital Employment Retreat for Military Spouses.
Yeah.
And so our life company is sponsoring them. And so we're putting together some content to help them help their audience. So advocacy comes in a lot of different forms, but it's all focused on those three pillars.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. In my military career, and it was a sort of a long one, my wife took care of all the finances. She really managed all the money because I was always gone and always deployed. Do you find that as a norm when you talk to most veterans?
Yeah, that's a great point, Sergeant Major, because I point this out when I'm talking to audiences. I think military, because I've worked with military families and those outside of the military, and one of the things about military families is there's kind of a balance of power, if you will. Because in the civilian world, we can get into our ruts and into our routines, and we can do certain things and let our spouse do other things. But in the military, just the life itself and deployments and PCSs and all the things that come with it oftentimes put us in roles where maybe we're not comfortable in or have us take on roles like your wife that maybe we wouldn't have done normally or wouldn't have stepped up to if it wasn't because we're living that military life.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep in this, but I was really funny. I, I deployed all the time. I was always gone. I really had two separate checking accounts all the time. So I never touched my wife's money. And she was nice enough to give me a little bit so I could have a little bit of money. But I found it just a lot easier for her to manage the money. And I, you know, when I was deployed, I didn't have a problem when I deployed. But when I retired, I thought, well, I'll just all put it back together. But I never did. I left it separate. So she just had her own funds and stuff. And I was talking, one of my sons were telling me one day, he says, Mom, where do you get the money? She says, I don't know. It just appears in my account every month. So she's got it down pat right now.
Hey. Well, she obviously did it right. So that's good.
Well, she saved, when I was in Germany and I was deployed, and it was always a struggle until I probably made Sergeant First Class or First Sergeant. But I think she, when I was deployed down in Bosnia, she saved $20,000, I think, in a year, which I thought it was incredible. So what do you see as the relationship between personal finance and transitioning?
I think I would actually use, and I love the title, Your Next Mission. I love the title of the show, but I would use that analogy and just say, hey, every mission starts with a plan. And going back to my days in the military, hey, there was paragraph four, right? Support, service, support. And so money, I think, is really part of that support package, if you will. And like logistics on the whole, hey, it's not necessarily top of mind until things start going wrong. And that's when all of a sudden it becomes everybody's priority. So I think with money, it, kind of the same thing. Hey, if you're deliberate about it, build it into your plan, make sure you're dotting your I's. It can be something that's not a showstopper. On the other hand, if you ignore it, it has the real potential to derail that transition.
Yeah, I was when I was still in active duty, one of the things that I did get it in. I got it then at the time it was PLDC. Now it's WLC as far as our education process, but I put it into our educational system within the military. It's financial education. I always thought that when a service member comes into the, for me, it's the Army, it doesn't matter what branch it is, they should have some kind of financial education class all the way through their military career to better prepare them to get out of the service. That's one thing. And the other one I thought was really important was benefits and entitlements, what their benefits and entitlements were. So we educate them all the way through. So when they do that process out of the service, there wasn't a really big problem. I don't know what you think about that, but.
Yeah, no, I think you were kind of ahead of your time. And I think in recent years, I mean, it's been mandated and legislated that the military is going to do that. And so I think there are some fantastic resources available now, and there's the touch point training. So there's clearly an emphasis on financial readiness, and that tie of financial readiness to readiness on the whole is well understood. And so a lot more emphasis there. But again, is it at the top of the list for those service members that are out there living the life? Maybe not. But again, any chance we can get to push it up a little bit, or at least bring it into the zone of consideration, is a positive opportunity.
Yeah, one of the things I've always thought about that too is we probably ought to do a better job in educating our military spouses about financial education, because if they get the interest, and they do have the interest already, but if you educate them, then that'll sort of flow, because as a active duty service member, you're always deployed, always doing stuff, and you're not really, you know, you care, but you don't care. You know what I mean? But that spouse also, I mean, she certainly does care about what's going on. So I think, you know, having classes for the military spouse, I think is really important.
Yeah, it's definitely what I would call a team game when it comes to money. And again, the roles and responsibilities and who's managing a day-to-day basis can change. But if you don't involve both spouses, then you're going to fall short.
Yeah, yeah. You know, today our focus is sharing, you know, as much information now with our audience as possible. When it comes to financial wellness, do you think there should be a playbook of some kind for people to manage their money? We have playbooks for everything else. If we're going to go to war, we have a playbook. So why don't we have one for financial wellness, or do we have one?
Well, I think checklists and playbooks, right? If we had those two things, we're good to go. But I think it really, depending on where you're at in life, there are going to be different things that are priority in different plays, if you will, that are going to be important. At USAA, one of the things we have is what we call our core advice. So six principles that we think, is this going to make you perfect? No, but if you pay attention to them, whether it's spend less than you earn, or save for emergencies, or save now for retirement, if you follow through with these six principles, you're at least going to be in pretty good shape. So is that a playbook? Not necessarily, but it's trying to make people aware of and focus on and be cognizant of things that are important principles to being financially ready and financially well, if you will.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it today, you probably, do you have some kind of app that you do that to? Is there an app that goes along with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. If I go back to my early days in financial planning compared to where we are today, whether you're looking at an app to track your spending or manage your investments or buy your investments or transfer money from one account to another. I mean, the technology is there to really facilitate and make it easier to do that stuff, but it's still grunt work. I mean, it still takes the, you have to manage the emotions. You have to be able to differentiate from, you know, wants or needs or things like that. So there's still the human element into it, whether we have a playbook or know what we should be doing. There's still a little bit left to chance and a really imperative to be deliberate.
Yeah. One of the other things I always thought was important, I always live within my means, you know, with the credit cards and all the stuff you have now. Yeah, people that, you know, quite frankly, don't think about it when they're swiping that card. But me and my wife, you know, if we had this much money, that's what we lived on. In fact, I remember saving, waiting to get my taxes and getting the money back from taxes so I could buy tires. I always thought that was important. I think now people just overspend just a little bit too much anyway.
Well, I was talking about those six principles. One of them is spend less than you earn. And so it's funny because I feel the same way you do. And my kids, so they've been the children of a financial planner for at least the last, you know, 25 years or so. And there's not much they understand about personal finance or that they led on to understanding. But the one thing they all can tell you is, hey, spend less than you earn and save some to boot. So that's kind of the mantra that's been in my house. And I think it's a great one for all of us.
Yeah, I used to, this is sort of a funny story. So I've had two granddaughters and now I got three and a half great grandbabies. But I remember bringing my granddaughters out and they say, Grandpa, you know, we want to get, we need some money to buy whatever. And I says, oh, okay, well, I'll give you a couple odd jobs around the house to do stuff. And so the older daughter, I can't remember what I got to do, but the younger daughter, I said, baby, you're just going to have to pull the weeds. She says, Grandpa, with these hands? I can't. I thought, that was so crazy. She didn't realize she had to pull weeds with hands. Hey, sir, I'm having a great discussion. I hope you are. Hold that thought. I'm going to be right back here. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel retired J.J. Montanaro, Relationship Director, Military Advocacy Group, got to get that out of my mouth here, for USAA, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because when you talk about financial wellness, it helps all of us. It's about the future of your life and making sure your family's taken care of. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications to all the upcoming video podcasts that we're going to release. Sir, during this segment, I want to focus on some of the pitfalls and obstacles that transitioning service members and their families face when they, you know, when they take off their uniform. What are some of the things that they should be aware of?
Yeah, I think if you start with maybe perhaps some of the things you take for granted, that's where you're going to find some of those pitfalls. And the thing that immediately comes to my mind is just the idea that the allowances that we have while we're serving in the military, USAA, for example, great company, but they're not providing me a housing allowance. And whatever they do provide me is taxable. So all of a sudden, when you look at a lot of folks out there who are serving, they're receiving a housing allowance. It's a tax-free housing allowance. And depending on where they live or where they're stationed, it could represent, you know, 20, 30, 40% of their income. And so I guess that what I'm saying at a high level is that the cash flow, that the budget is going to look different when you make that transition from military life to civilian life. And a lot of it is going to be things, again, that we didn't necessarily have to think about or calculate, but all of a sudden are going to go away when we make the move to civilian life.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I did when I retired, I saved up 90 plus days of leave. And so, you know, I processed that, went on leave for about 35 or 40 days. Then I started working and doing some stuff. So I was really receiving two checks, you know, from employer and then plus from the government. And so when that transition come, as far as cutting my pay down a little bit, it wasn't quite as painful. I don't know if you did anything like that or not, but it certainly helped me. I think you know, there's a lot of very smart soldiers out there today. I think not just soldiers, but service members that really think about those things. I think they probably do it the same way.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a great situation. And one of the things I always chuckle when we provide this advice. So USA, I was telling you about our core advice, but we also have points of view on a variety of different things. And one of them is that as you transition from the military, you ought to have a transition fund of 8 to 12 months worth of expenses. Yeah. And so that's great. And I don't know how many times I've sat in front of an audience and asked them, how much longer do you have until you leave? And I say like less than 30 days, and hands will go up, and then I'll drop that really wisdom on them and say, well, hey, you ought to have, you know, 8 months worth of expenses set aside. And they're like, well, thanks for that great information, JJ. That's really powerful. It's going to help me with 30 days left. But I think, it almost goes back to, this ought to be a process that starts when you put the uniform on, as opposed to something you start thinking about as you're getting ready to take it off.
Yeah. One of the other things, though, I think is important is I hope I get the number right. When I was on active duty, we were spending $1 billion a year on unemployment, not just for the Army. I think it was $500 million for the Army. And the problem was that just what you just talked about is people would, you know, wait the 30 days to really start processing out or thinking about getting out of service. So I've always thought there's a few tips that, you know, it's off financial education a little bit, but it's, you know, when do you start that process? About 2 years out. Do you have a resume? Where do you want to live? Pay off your credit cards, any credit cards you have, so you go out of the service with no bills at all. And then start that networking process to, you know, to sort of prepare you to get out of the service so you can find employment fairly quickly. And I think now I think they're getting a little bit better, but now I think they're probably, they're supposed to, I think it is 18 months to 2 years they're supposed to start, but about a year out there, I ought to really focus on that and make sure they're prepared to get out of the service and have a job. And then the last thing I think is finish up their education. If they have 2 years, get 4 years. You have 4 years, maybe get your doctorate or whatever, your master's degree. But preparation to get out of your service, not just you, but your spouse too.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. All great points. And I was talking about meaningful careers as being one of our pillars here at USA. So I get to listen to my teammate talk about that a lot. And one of the things or organizations we support is Veterati, American Corporate Partners. So I think back to when I got out and probably when you retired, the amount of resources out there now are just a lot more than there were. And so there are a lot of tools and opportunities that you should take advantage of to do the things, Sergeant Major, that you're talking about, whether it's network or understanding the opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, there's a disadvantage a little bit now with all those resources. I wish there was just one central location that you could go to, because I think people, there's so much information out there, you get a little confused, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, it was...
Going back to the playbook.
That's right, you got to have that playbook. Yeah. Well, I mean, but the problem you have, you got all that stuff coming in, you got to sort it out. That's why... When you're on active duty, having the time to use your playbook, sort it out while you're on active duty, and then make a smooth transition, I think that's really key. The other thing is having a spouse involved with everything that you're doing. You know, financial wellness, you know, all the retirement processing out, doing everything you're doing when you're getting out of the service. I think that's just a smart for you as far as you and your spouse just preparing yourself to get out. So.
Yeah, that's a great point. And especially there's a lot of situations out there now where spouses have careers and they can actually, you can pivot on them. It becomes kind of their time to shine. And financially, it really provides a great way to make that transition to civilian life.
Yeah. Sir, I tell you what, I'm having such a great time talking to you this morning. I'm so, you can see me, I'm running in my chair. I'm so motivated. But I want you to do me a favor. Hold that thought just for a couple of seconds there. We've got a lot more to talk about, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Lieutenant Colonel retired J.J. Montanaro, Relationship Director of Military Advocacy Group at USAA. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to directly. Tell me about your transition. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. I always tell people, this is not my show. This is our show. We want to try to help all our veterans and families, you know, transition from the military. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. And I'll reach out to you. You know, send me something. Tell me what's going on. Or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Well, you know, we're heading into the final segment with you today, and I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I have. I'm really enjoying it. Anytime I talk about financial education, I'm always pumped up about learning as much as I can. I just have a couple of more questions. Sure. I want to leave our audience with some words of advice when it comes to preparing financially to leave the military. What are a couple tips you could share with establishing a transition fund when getting out of the service?
Yeah, so I think we did a good job. We talked about that, the importance of it, because you never really know what the timeline is going to be. You have a hope and you have aspiration to be able to double dip, like you talked about, Sergeant Major, but that's not going to happen for everyone. I think the last statistics I saw is it takes the average service member perhaps 6 months or so to find a new job. So I think that's a great place to start. I think you also need to think about transitioning your benefits. So again, going back to healthcare, we may have moaned and groaned about it while we're serving, but when you leave the military, it's going to go away, or you're going to have to find other options. And typically, whether you're talking about life insurance or health insurance, the other options that you're going to explore are going to come with a price tag that perhaps you didn't have before. So transitioning those benefits. And then the other thing I would say is that as you make that transition to civilian life, it's a good time to essentially do what I would call a retirement snapshot, because even if you're retiring from the military, you're probably not retiring from the workforce. And at some point, I think we're all going to do that. We might have a different vision of what that looks like and what we want to accomplish and the lifestyle that we want to live. But doing a little bit of an acid check and saying, hey, where am I, acid test, where am I at right now? Are there things I need to do that maybe I haven't done when it comes to taking advantage of things like the 401k or IRAs? Or am I in pretty good shape and I'm on a good glide path to get where I want to go? But I think this is a good time, because it is a watershed event, to do a snapshot and just figure out, okay, here's where we stand, here's what we need to do.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I think I was talking to somebody the other day. I work out a gym by my house, and the lady that works at the desk and checks people in and stuff, her husband's a retired veteran. He spent about 9 years. She talked about a culture shock of getting out of the military. Just that initial adjustment about do you fit in and all that other stuff. Do you ever hear any stuff like that as far as USA? It's people talking about, I just don't fit anymore or whatever. Yeah.
I think at USAA, we do a pretty good job, because, and I look at my own team here, Military Affairs, it's a bunch of retired sergeants major and colonels and what have you. So maybe I have a little bit of a jaded view from that standpoint. But as a culture here at USAA, we really tip our hats to military service and really hold it in high regard. So I don't think necessarily we have our employees here have the same experience that everyone has. But I think what I've heard over and over is just the idea or the concept of missing the people, missing the camaraderie, missing all that goes with military service from a day-to-day basis, the community. Even if they don't necessarily miss the work, they definitely miss the people. And I think that's a common thread that I see.
I used to tell people when I was active duty, I'm the senior enlisted guy for 1.3 million people when I was in active duty as a sergeant major of the Army. I remember getting out of the service, and I said something to my wife about, something about 1.3 million people. She said, you used to have 1.3 million people. Now you only got me.
Which is tougher?
Well, I think probably just haven't heard that. You know, USAA has done so much for our military. Now, I don't know, you want to do as much as you can possible to help our transitioning service members and their families. Where can they go online to get some help or some advice? Do you have a website or something?
Yeah, so we have, in essence, a little bit of a playbook. If folks go to USA.com/ETS or USA.com/leaving the military, that's what we call our transition hub. So that's there are calculators there, there are tools, there's an interactive checklist. So there are all sorts of resources, whether you want to read an article about the tax piece that we're talking about, or you want to be reminded to do the various things that come with transitioning. It's all there at USA.com/ETS.
Yeah. Hey, so you know, something just popped in my brain. Do you guys do a lot of social media? Because there's, in today's society, you know, younger adults, even older guys like me, do a lot of stuff with social media. Is USA pretty active on social media?
Yeah, we are, and I would say that I am probably not the banner carrier for that, but we have a great social media team and a great social media presence. And so when we get done here, I'll be picking up the phone and talk to them to make sure that they're amplifying what's going on here today.
So just a real quick, so what kind of things do you emphasize on social media about, I guess, financial education? Of course, join USAA because it's a great organization. Is there any, what else?
Yeah, so when it comes to USAA.com/join, if folks want to join USAA, But again, we're taking we highlight events. I was talking about advocacy, and sometimes advocacy is are highlighting and supporting things that are going on. So if our team is out there and getting ready to go to a transition event or some sort of workshop, that we'll try to loop in the social media folks to drive engagement and drive just the understanding of, hey, these are the type of things that are going on out there. I think about things like Military Saves Week and the messaging that goes out during that week relative to financial readiness. So they're very active and trying to have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the community.
Yeah, let me ask, as you talk, I'm thinking of questions all the time to ask. Do you give many classes? I guess you're not authorized to give financial education classes on military installations, but how do you go about that? So I'm an active duty service member. I know you got websites and all that stuff, but do you get invited to come and get classes on posts and do stuff?
So to your point, because of the DoD regulations, that's not something we do. Yeah. We don't do financial education on installations. But to one of your earlier points, Sergeant Major, you were talking about the importance of spouses and spouses being engaged and involved in financial decisions. So we try to embed a lot of what we do and a lot of the messaging around financial readiness in, for example, spouse events. So MIL Spouse Fest or that pillar I was talking about earlier are spouse events. And again, there are financial readiness messages that we try to share through those opportunities, if you will. So maybe not right there on post, but trying to hit folks where they are.
Yeah. Hey, sir, first of all, let me tell you, I've enjoyed so much talking to you. You're a wealth of knowledge, and God bless you for what you and USAA are doing for, you know, our veterans and our military family members, of course, active duty also. But any final thoughts, anything maybe we missed that you want to make sure the audience hears or you want to say?
No, I would just go back. Yeah, I would go back to the idea of having a plan and being deliberate and including the personal finance element as you're making that transition. Yeah. So make it happen. Don't let it happen to you. And I think that approach will go a long way towards making sure that transition is successful.
I think the other thing is, for you veterans or military family members that are listening out there, there's always people out there that'll help you. You just got to ask. And there's a lot of veterans, you know, you may be concerned about, you know, whether or not they're trying to make money or do something else. You know, I think there's 17 million veterans. I'm not sure if I got that number right. I've heard the number 17 million and 20 million, but there's about 17 million veterans out there. We're all tied together as a family. And so reaching out to somebody that cares about you, cares about your family. Here's a company, USAA, that really cares and wants to do everything they can to assist you in any way they can. So I just, again, I thank you guys for you know, what you're doing. I got to tell you, I got to be upfront about that. I am a USAA member. I've got insurance with you guys. So that's, you know, that's a plus for me. That's for sure.
Thank you for your membership, Sergeant Major. That's good stuff.
Well, again, thanks a lot. Appreciate you being on the show today. Went fast and furious, but keep up the great work. You're helping military family members, and you're helping them a great deal. And what you're doing is you're changing their lives. You know, when you talk about financial education, again, going back to an old guy like me, if I wouldn't have had some people on the way that says, hey, look, you need to do this, I'm not sure where I'd be today. So you guys are changing lives and making it better for a lot of people to enjoy that American dream. And that's own a home.
Thanks for those. Thank you.
So God bless you for keep up the good work.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Lieutenant Colonel retired J.J. Montanaro for being with us today. I mean, it was just a great discussion about an organization that cares about all of us. You know, I can't say it enough. We're all part of a family, and we all want to help each other. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I hope it's a good review. But if it's a bad one, well, you know, what the heck. I guess I can take that too. We can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military, because it's not easy. It's like I said, it's a culture shock, and you need assistance. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I always love to say that twice. Please know we want to assist you. We care about you. We love you. We want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media pages. Never thought I'd ever say that. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you've enjoyed this discussion, and I know that you have, with Lieutenant Colonel retired Montanaro, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And also, don't forget, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive all those notifications. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. You'd be surprised. I'll contact you back. Thanks again to Lieutenant Colonel retired Montanaro for joining us today. It was just great having him on the show. At this part of the show, I'm supposed to give you some final thoughts, and I'm going to give you some today. One is organizations like USAA care. They want to make your transition out of the military that much easier. But if you don't have some financial wellness, you don't have a playbook, you don't have something to prepare you to get out, you're going to struggle a little bit. Make sure you start that process. Make sure you think about that financial education. And the other good advice I'm going to give you today, make sure your spouse is involved in all that process. It's about the team. And that's what USAA is. It's about the team and helping you win that fight. You served our country. Now we're going to serve you. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.